Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles today, would you open them to Isaiah chapter 40? And I'm going to finish the message, Lord willing, that I started last week. Isaiah chapter 40 is a very important chapter in the Bible because in the book of Isaiah, they've made the turn. In the book of Isaiah, the first 39 chapters have been about the woes. It's what happens to everybody that does not obey God. The interesting thing about the first 39 chapters is it really doesn't matter whether an individual followed and served the Lord or not. Anybody, whether we name the name of the Lord or not, that does not follow and serve Him is always going to lead to disobedience. And in Isaiah chapter 40, the children of Israel have disobeyed God. God told them what was going to happen. They were going to be sent into captivity. They did not believe Him, but He was. They were. They were sent. They had been in captivity. It was kind of a warning shot. God said, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years, and they are now about to come home. And I want to call your attention specifically to the first part of Isaiah chapter 40, even though we're going to pick it up in verse 9. In verse 2, it says to speak comfort to Jerusalem. Now, the word that said when it says speak comfort, it's talking about speaking to their heart. And this is what's important for us to realize. God has a message, and He doesn't want it to be in our mind. Because when it's in our mind, there's millions of things that go through our mind all the time. But He wants it to be in our heart. And when it settles in our heart, we realize that it's true. We realize that it is the thing that guides our life. And if you'll notice in verse 2, it says, speak to Jerusalem. At this moment, the city of Jerusalem is in ruins. And so it's almost like the Lord is talking to something that was. It's something that doesn't even exist. But notice it says, speak to Jerusalem and cry out to her. And it's these three things. The first one is that her warfare is ended. I said this last week, but the word warfare could have easily been translated difficult service. And my question to all of us here, because I know for at least all of us over at least the age of two, the answer is going to be yes. But man, have you ever gone through a difficult time and you wanted it to end? I mean, think about that for just a second. In our life, all we know is the struggle that we have. But one day, whatever that difficult struggle is, it's going to end. The next thing that he says is that her iniquity is pardoned. In other words, imagine this message that we get to share with people. In our life, we have all done things that we should not have done. The word that's used for iniquity is the worst word that's used for sin in the Bible, because the word iniquity is when we say, I know the Bible says I shouldn't, but that's that word. It's the worst possible sin we can commit, because we know before we do it, we shouldn't do it. And the Bible says that our iniquity is pardoned, and that word pardoned means to be paid in full. I enjoyed saying this so much last week, I'm going to say it again. Can you imagine when we stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to give an account for our lives as Christians, and there's that scroll, and it's rolled out, and there's all the tens of millions of billions of trillions of sins that we have committed, and across the top, the words are written, paid in full. That's what God wants to do for us. When we turn our back on Him, that's what we're turning our back on. And then the third thing that's listed there is that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That is the picture of grace right there. Most of us will let somebody do something to us one time, and we'll say this, if you do it to me one time, it's your fault. If you do it to me twice, it's... We ain't gonna let them do it, are we? You can get me once, but you're not going to get me twice. Those are the kind of things we say. But you know what the Lord said? He said He's going to total it up, and instead of giving us what we deserve, He's going to give us double what He wants us to have. Listen, if you can find a God anywhere in the universe that makes a deal like that, you better accept it. Listen, God wants to pour out things on us that we're not even capable of understanding. We're going to begin in verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to stay mostly here. There'll be some verses on the screen. Our invitation is going to come from Romans chapter 8, and we'll turn over there at the very end of the message. But when we look at this message today, there is a message that every believer is commanded to share. And if we don't share that, if we don't do what God has called us to do, we have to acknowledge that we are living in sin. I want to say this, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to dive into verse 9. Every one of us here probably looked at the state of the United States of America and says, we cannot continue down that path. I want to say, I say this all the time, but I want to say this just in case you're visiting, you never heard me say this before. I want you to realize something. America is not in trouble because of politics. America is not in trouble because of politicians. America is in trouble because Christians aren't sharing the good news of Jesus Christ from a position of love mixed with compassion. And listen, there's nothing wrong with this country that's not our fault. Shall we pray? Father God, as we bow before you today, God, you are a great, awesome, mighty, powerful God. Lord, if we did not do anything for the rest of our life but praise you, it would be a life well spent. But somehow, God, because of the busyness of this life, because of sin, because of all the things that we're committed to, sometimes, God, we don't even have time to give you the honor and the glory and the praise you deserve. When we look at this amazing passage of Scripture that you spoke to the prophet Isaiah, he wrote down, and you have preserved it all these years. God, through the thousands of years, you have preserved this for us so that we can know you, we can know what you want us to do, and we can know the joy of spreading your word. So, Lord, we love you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I entitled this passage of Scripture, it's in verses 9 through 17, but I entitled it, Our Eternal Message. When you look at verse 9, it starts out, says, O Zion. That's a reference to God's people. That's where God's people, that's his location for his people. And it says, you who bring good tidings. And that word good tidings is people that get to go around and tell everybody they meet God's message about the salvation that God has provided to his people. And listen, he says, go up high in the mountains, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, and do not be afraid. Do you know what he says? He says God is able to save to the absolute uttermost. And he says to those of us that have experienced that salvation, it is our joy, it is our privilege to go everywhere and share that message. But notice the word Jerusalem, when he specifically uses that word, this place is in ruins. This place has been mowed to the ground. It has been leveled. It is gone. It basically does not exist. And when he tells us to share with Jerusalem, he is telling us to not be afraid to share it with anybody and that we are to share it with all that is in us. But I want you to look in your Bible at the end of verse 9. I read out of the New King James. I know not everybody does, and that's fine. But in the New King James, it says, you tell everybody, and whatever you do, don't you be afraid. In other words, don't worry. You're not going to make a promise that God can't keep. But now, let me ask you something. How many people in here know that the number one reason that individuals who say they're saved, us, give for not sharing their faith? You know what the number one reason we give for not sharing our faith is? Anybody? Too busy. No, that's probably it. Afraid. You know the number one reason that people give for not sharing their faith is they are afraid. They're afraid somebody will ask them a question they can't answer. They're afraid that they'll say the wrong thing. And the Bible says for us to lift up our voice and not be afraid. Now, either the Bible's true or what our brain tells us is true. And we have to make a decision about which one it is. But it says, do not be afraid. And what I want to go ahead and ask you to put on your calendar, we do this every year, a good group from our church, everybody should do it. We'll be over at the Dixie National when the rodeo starts. We'll be over there starting January 31st. We'll be over there sharing the gospel. It's a 3-minute story about how Christ changed your life. It's astounding that when we stand there and do that, it's amazing that God saves people through little simple little stories that people just tell about their life and they mix the gospel in. And I'm going to tell you something. I'll allow the Lord to tell us. Look on the screen as we look at Matthew chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 27 through 33. I'm going to read it. I'm going to make a few comments at the end, and then we're going to talk about our homework from several Sundays ago that I hadn't mentioned because I wanted everybody to have a chance to do it. All right, so let's look at what Matthew says. Jesus speaking says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. All right? Then verse 28. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, do not fear therefore. All right, so the message that we've been given from the Lord, we've been given and we're told to tell everybody, he says, do not fear, therefore, are you of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Now, when we look at our Bibles today, we realize the Bible was not written in English. It was not written to English-speaking individuals. It was written in another language. And so what we have the joy of doing is we have the joy of seeing what that word meant in the original language, and then we can apply it properly to our life. The word that's used for confess, where he says, whoever confesses me before man, that word means first and foremost in the original language to promise. And I'm going to ask you something. What did you promise God when you got saved? Most people didn't promise God anything. Most people said, listen, I'll say this prayer. I'll let some preacher that I don't know hold me underwater in church, and my name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to continue to live my life just like I was before, and everything's going to be fine, and I'm going to go to heaven when I die. The problem with that is it's nowhere in the Bible. It's everywhere in Southern Baptist Church, but it's nowhere in the Bible. Amen. When we confess, we make a promise. Now, I'd like to ask those of you who are married a question. When you got married, when that person standing across from you, they were looking at you, they were batting their eyes at you, and they were making all these vows to you, did you expect them to keep it? Amen. Sure you did. Of course you did. Do you think the Lord doesn't expect us to keep our vows? Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. There's probably somebody that's going to disagree with this, and I have no problem with that. There's far too many people that said they wanted to be saved and didn't even know what it meant to be saved. They never stopped and counted the cost. They never said, what in the world am I going to have to give up to follow this guy Jesus? What words am I going to have to stop saying? What places am I going to have to go? Stop going. What am I going to have to stop doing? What am I going to have to start doing? And I got news for you. If you didn't do that, you probably didn't even stop for a second and think about what it means to be a blood-bought child of the King. Amen. Folks, we're expensive and we're precious. And he said, whoever confesses to me before men, and that word confess means to promise, and it means to consent to the desire of another. He said, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So we have a choice. We can either confess, that means do what he says, or we can deny. Now, here's my question to you. Several weeks ago, if you weren't here, you don't know what I'm talking about, so you get a pass. Several weeks ago, we passed these out. They were in the bulletin. This is Steps to Peace with God. It's a simple little way to lead anybody to Jesus. All you got to do is read it, walks you right through it all the way down to the prayer. I don't expect anybody in here to raise your hand. And I'm going to tell you why, because it would be hurtful to the Lord. I ask all of us, share faith with somebody. And I want you not to look at me, not to even think, don't even hear my voice when I'm talking. How many of you have that Bible stuck in your Bible for a month and never even considered sharing it with somebody? I don't know the answer. Nobody raised your hand. I didn't ask you to raise your hand. I don't want you to raise your hand. But let's stop complaining about politicians. Come on now. Hey, let's put the blame where the blame goes. Right? Listen, there's nobody in my 5th and 6th grade Sunday school class couldn't read this tract to somebody. And the worst thing about it is, not that we didn't do it. The worst thing about it is, it don't even bother us. It doesn't even break our heart that one day, the people we work with, one day the people we go to school with, one day the people we ride the bus with are going to wake up in eternity and it's going to be too late. it's going to be too late. And we have to make sure we've done what the Lord said. Hold that thought. We're coming back to that. Notice what the rest of the message is in the verse. He says, and say to the cities of Judea, behold your God. In other words, this massive surprise. It's almost like the rapture is going to be for us. And it says, behold the Lord God. In other words, that's a reference to the God that spoke to Moses at the burning bush, this God who always is. And he says that when we see him, when we behold him, the Bible says that he's going to come with a strong hand. And in the Bible, a strong hand means this manifestation of strength. There's going to be this day, and we know from last week that Matthew applied this passage to the Messiah, so we know in Matthew chapter 3 it's talking about Jesus. But we have to realize that when he comes with a strong hand, he's going to deliver us from sin. He's going to deliver us from death. He's going to deliver us from hell. He's going to deliver us from grave. He's going to deliver us from everything that we worry about. If you look at Psalms 98:1 on the screen, this is a positive aspect of this phrase. And it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. In his right hand, his holy arm, have gained him the victory. So it's talking about his strength, what he has done. But a negative example is in Ezekiel chapter 30. It says, son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and see, it has not been bandaged for healing, nor a splint put on to bind it, to make it strong enough to hold the sword. And so this word lets us know that it's talking about strength. It's talking about power. And in the next phrase in Isaiah chapter 40, it said, and his arm shall rule for him. And this again is a symbol of his strength, his power, what he can accomplish. And I want you to know that for us today, it is a privilege for us to be able to tell people what God can do. It is a privilege for us to be able to tell people that they don't have to die in their sin, that people don't have to worry about what's going to happen to them after they die. If you look on the screen in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, these are some of the greatest words in the Bible, not that some are greater than others, but these put our soul at comfort. Do you ever know people that say, I am afraid to die? I hear that many times as I talk to people. People say, I am afraid to die. Well, listen, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to be afraid to die. Matter of fact, the day that we die for us is going to be a wonderful, glorious day. For those that we leave behind, it'll be terribly sad. But I will say this to you right now. One day, if you're a member of this church, and you get an email and it says, the preacher was killed in a car wreck. Before you cry, you thank the Lord God. All those things we talked about, our struggle is over. Our iniquities are pardoned. We have been paid double for our trouble. And listen, I know that some of you just love me probably a little bit more than others. We won't go down that. I'm just kidding. I know y'all love me. I know y'all love me. But don't cry for me, right? Because listen, it's going to be over. Look what the Bible says. It says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But verse 57, but be thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's shouting ground right there. Listen, he has done it for us. He didn't say that we earn it through him. He said who gives it to us through him. And listen, we have all sinned. We have all fallen short. But in John chapter 5, verse 24, you know what Jesus says about the judgment? Jesus says, most assuredly, I speak to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. I know that all of us will give an account. We're going to look at this verse. But do you realize that God does not want us to die in our sins? God wants us to have life. He wants to give you and I a gift, and that gift is eternal life. And you know what? God don't care what we've done because he already knew that before he saved us. One of the things that astounds me, I shouldn't say it as much as I do, but it truly astounds me. I was saved when I was 10 years old. And what's amazing is I'm 57. I have committed far more sins between 10 and 57 than I did 0 and 9. And what's astounding to me is God saved me anyway, knowing what I was going to do. That's what's amazing about our God. And this is also, I believe this because the Bible says it. I can honestly say I can comprehend it. But there is no judgment for my sins. Think about that. Think about that. How is it that all of us have done things that on our best day we wish we hadn't done? Done things we know I cannot undo that. You cannot unring a bell. You cannot take it back. It is done. It is recorded forever. But because our iniquities have been pardoned, the debt has been paid in full. In John chapter 8, verse 51, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word," notice he didn't say if anyone goes to church. Notice he didn't say if anyone puts a quarter in the offering plate. He said, "If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Who made him mad? And the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death." Well, listen, what we know is our spirit leaves this old raggedy body, the one that's got all the aches, the pains, the scars from sin, and our spirit goes to be with the Lord. And we know, we're going to look at this verse in just a minute, but it's instantaneous. In other words, if I fell over backwards, if I died before my head hit that chair back there, my spirit would be with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, that makes me really happy. And to know that I didn't do it. And if all those things aren't enough, if you look in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "Behold, his reward is with him." The idea is that God is going to come back to this earth. He is going to bring with him his reward for all those who have served him. Revelation 22 verse 12 and said, "Behold, I am coming quickly." This is at the very end of the Bible. "My reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And then this is what he said. "Blessed are those who go to church." Is that what he said? Are you sure? Who's blessed? Those who keep his commandments. And they have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and those and whoever loves and practices a lie. All right, so now let's go back. Remember this from a while ago? Let's go back. How many people in here genuinely know the greatest opportunity that we have is to share the gospel with somebody from a heart filled with love and from a place of compassion? Huh? It's the greatest opportunity we have. It's the greatest use of our time is to tell people the truth about the Lord. But how many people think you don't have to do that to go to heaven when you die? Right? Hey, listen, the devil is a liar. The truth is not in him. Listen, you may sit there and you may say, "Preacher, you are not going to make me feel bad about not sharing my faith." I'm not trying to. If you feel bad, you better go that way, not this way. Right? Amen. But I'm going to tell all of us something. I'm going to put myself right in this with you. When we see Jesus, man, you know what we're going to wish we had done? Told everybody. The greatest privilege we have as repentant sinners is to tell somebody what Jesus has done for us. Ooh, okay, man. But you know what the problem with serving the Lord is? We get tired. Look at this verse. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it said, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." Can I get a hand raised as a testimony? Have you ever just got tired of doing good? I'm raising both mine. Y'all be spiritual if you want to. Sometimes it's like, "No, I can't do it again." Right? Come on now. Right? Sometimes it's like, "Oh, Lord, I already told him like 700 times. Do I have to tell him again?" Do not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Man, I think I needed that verse today. And in Hebrews chapter 12, this is how we do it. This is verses 2 and 3. It says, looking unto Jesus. Do you know if we look anywhere else, we'll stop? Amen. If we look anywhere but other than to Jesus, unto Jesus, we will stop. We will get tired. We will grow weary. We will burn out. But it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So he was going to have joy, but you know what was between Jesus and joy? The cross. But he knew that the joy was going to be worth it, so he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the position of power and authority. For consider him who endured such hostility for sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And you know what he's telling us? He's telling us when we just don't think we can go another step. He's telling us when we just don't think we can serve the Lord anymore, we have to look to the Lord. And we see him. We see what he endured. We see what he accomplished, and we serve the Lord. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, and his work is before him. Now, of all the verses that I've read today, I find this passage to be quite amazing, quite astounding, and quite encouraging. But when we get to these verses about his work is before him, this is one of those things that you believe it because the Bible says it. You accept it because the Bible says it. But in your heart, you wonder, how can that be true? And I don't know if you've ever realized this or not, but do you know that God is not indebted to any man? Amen. God is not indebted to any man. In other words, everything that we've ever done in his name, for his glory, we're going to be rewarded for. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He said, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of the least little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you that he will by no means lose his reward. And listen, when we serve the Lord, I think that this is true of many of the people that I know in here personally. We try our dead level best to serve the Lord in every way that we can. And I believe that just like that it is impossible for us to know how many sins we've actually committed, I think it's impossible for us to know how many things we have actually done in the name of the Lord, where we just help somebody. And it's like, well, when you're through and you're finished and you're done, and you're like, well, why did you do that? And it's like, well, I know the Lord wanted me to do it. And I just did what the Lord wanted me to do. I know that's what Jesus would have done, and so therefore I did that. And what we have to realize is after 2 or 3 days, we can't even remember what we did. But you know who does remember? Ooh, the living Lord God remembers. And I believe that when we give an account for the Lord, when we give an account of our lives before the Lord, I believe we are going to be shocked at how many things, as a person who just dedicates their life to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I think we're going to be amazed at, over the course of a lifetime, the things that we did in Jesus' name. And I think we're going to be shocked when we get paid back for every one of them. And you know what we're going to say when we get paid back? I should have done more. Right? I don't think anybody's going to put their foot in the ground, put their hand on their hip, and say, well, I wasted about 2 years of my life. Look at all this stuff. And listen, if we believe that we're going to be paid back, you know what we're going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We're going to do what the Lord said. All right? Quick redo of a quick story. I'll make it quick. I was that typical kid in school. sit there the entire year, only doing school, what made my mother happy when I got to the point that I knew she was going to let me live for another 6 weeks. You know, back in those days, we got report cards in 6 weeks. These kids get by lucky with this 9-week stuff. I don't know how that works, but had to face music every 6 weeks, right? Did the absolute minimum the entire year. What do they have at the end of the year? Have Rewards Day, right? You know what to do? You know what to give out at Rewards Day? Rewards. You know who gets the reward? The people that did their homework. People that studied for the test. People that came prepared. But you know what I always wanted? You know what I never got? You know why? Because I didn't do nothing to earn it. I got perfect attendance one time. The only reason I got that is Mama had a beauty shop at home, and if I stayed home, I'd have to stay with her. She'd made me be sick, so it's better to go to school. Couldn't win either way. I'm going to tell y'all something. The Lord's coming back, and this is our only chance to be ready. It's our only chance to be ready. We also have to remember that as Christians, we're going to give an account to the Lord for our life. Now, one of the things you have to realize is the Bible says that in Psalms 103, for example, it's in more than one place, but it says that our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. That's true. The Lord has paid the penalty for our sins. Our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. But, the Bible says that we're going to give an account for our life. Let me read these verses. I want you to see what the Bible says. It said we, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. And here's the reason why. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or good or bad. And so we, the Bible views Christians as stewards, right? And so stewards in the Bible, you're given an assignment. And then at some point, you're called in, and as a steward, you get to give an account of your life. And so every one of us are going to give an account. It is going to be an account of whether it was good or whether it was bad. And this is what's going to happen. At the end of that account, we are going to know that we're saved by the blood of Jesus. We're saved by grace. We're saved by His mercy. We're saved by His love. We're not saved by works. But at the end of our giving an account to the Lord for our life, every one of us is going to know that we ultimately deserve to spend eternity in hell. But because of the mercy and the grace of God, we're going to be saved and spend eternity in heaven. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that is good news. That is good, good news. But if you know that it's good news, what is the very next thing he says in verse 11? He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are all well known to God, and I also trust that we are well known to your consciences. Now what we have to realize is, if we know that we're going to give an account to the Lord for our life, are we not obligated to tell somebody? Amen. Now let me ask you something. Let's say it's your brother, let's say it's your sister, let's say it's your kinfolk, let's say it's your person you work with. And that person sits by you for 40 years at work, and they know this is going to happen. They're a Christian, they go to church, they read the Bible, they know this is going to happen. You don't know this is going to happen. You don't find out until after you die. And you have to give an account for your life. Are you not going to be like scrambling around to find that person? And what is the very first thing you're going to say to them when you see them? Huh? Why didn't you tell me? All those years we talked about the New Orleans Saints and you knew this was going to happen. Right? All we ever did was work. All we talked about everything and you knew this was going to happen and you didn't tell me? I'd be hot. I'd be mad. I'd be like upset. So that's why the Lord's telling us now. The Lord is telling us, listen, you and I, we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account. Well, the last one is in verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 40. And he will feed his flock like a shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, the Bible says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. And the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. But Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And in Isaiah 40 it says, and he will gather the lambs with his arms, and he will carry them into his bosom. And that's a place you put something that's cherished greatly. And he will gently lead those who are with young. Do you know that's what the Lord wants to do for us? The Lord wants to be our shepherd. He wants to take care of us. He wants to supply our needs. He wants to lead us beside the green pastures. He wants us to know about the still waters. But you know, the Bible also says that we, like sheep, have gone astray. And that each one has turned to his own way. If you will bear with me in Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. And I want you to think with me. I'm going to keep my comments to a minimum because of time and all that stuff. But I want you to just stop and just look at the words on this page. And I want you to look at these verses. And I want you to think about who this God is that we worship and we serve. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, it says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and has calculated the dust of earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains and the scales and the hills in the balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or has his counselor and taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and whom instructed him and taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as small as dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. And all the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him as less than nothing and worthless. You know what that verse tells us? It tells us of the greatness of God, but it also tells us of the value that he places on us. And I want you to turn for our invitation to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 31. I'm going to give you a second to get there. But I want to just tell you while you're turning to Romans chapter 8, that you are the most valuable thing on this planet. You are. Not all the gold in the world, not all the silver in the world, not all the oil in the world, not you are. And the reason that you are is because we know the price that was paid for us. We are purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. Ooh, think about that. And in verse 31, Romans chapter 8, it says, and what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Listen, I know that's written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to tell you something. That's some good stuff right there. You consider who God is. You consider what God did for us. You consider what God asked us to do in return. It's the best deal going. I'm going to pray. We're going to go into our invitation. As always, this altar is going to be open. You're more than welcome to come. Pray if you need to. I know you can pray where you are. You could sit on the front row and pray if you want to, if you can't get down and can't get up. But I'm going to tell you this. If you choose to die and spend eternity in hell, I think it is very important for whoever chooses to do that to realize that's a personal choice. And God did not bring us here today for us not to have the opportunity to get our hearts right before the Lord. I'm going to pray. Ryan, you come lead us, and then we'll respond.